Wait, welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we use AI generators to find out if they have diversity issues.
Do you hear my wife in the background? Could you hear her? She was...
Oh, hey, Ashley. That's Ashley.
Oh, you didn't hear her?
We have four people on the panel.
She was saying the F word in the background, so I was wondering if I need to explain that. Sorry. Pablo says hi. Ashley says...
Totally allowed.
Ashley says hi, Ashley. F you, Pablo.
I didn't say that. I said I'm sorry.
Bye.
You know what?
Mm-hmm. Bring her on.
I did send Ashley an Instagram message the other day, Spencer, because she posted a photo where Dominique was very genuinely smiling. And my message was just, look how nice he looks when he really smiles.
Don't try to slide my wife's DMs. I've never DM'd your wife, you monster.
I mean, first off.
Time to start.
Yeah, first time for everything.
I would prefer that you not do that, but Spencer Hall is here in a house that I've never seen before. Hello, Spencer Hall.
That makes two of us. Yeah, I've been in this house like 30 seconds, so I only have like a half minute on you.
Alabaster, where would you like us to explore?
First of all, hello.
Hey,
Ali. Hope you all had a lovely weekend.
Hey.
But let's start with the soap opera that has been never ending, and that is the Brooklyn Nets. According to Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News, the Nets have given Kyrie permission to seek a sign-and-trade. Woj has sort of dumped a mini Woj bomb on top of that, saying the Lakers are the only team interested in pursuing such sign-and-trade. My question for you, how do you see things playing out with KD, Kyrie, and the Nets?
So this whole story to me smells real fishy, and it has smelled fishy for a while now. And I say that because I don't doubt. Well, actually, should we just play the video of Kyrie at the BET Awards first before I proceed?
Kyrie, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this question. So you know, go ahead. Do you want to be a Brooklyn Nets still?
pass it to my left. Lead the league in assists.
And this concludes your debatable BET Awards coverage.
No, it does not. We're going deep dive on Jodeci. We're going deep dive on the Diddy tribute. We're doing all of that. What else did I appreciate from the – well, what else did I not appreciate? There's a lot of things that got on my nerves. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Let's do Kyrie and KD.
So the thing getting on my nerves is that we keep on getting served nothing burgers. And we're treating it
like
Lil'
Kim?
We're
not
going
to talk about Lil' Kim? Did you see Lil' Kim's performance last night? Okay.
I don't know if I would recognize Lil' Kim at this point at the rate at which I last tried to recognize Lil' Kim. But I also don't recognize what the story is anymore. According to Woj, yes, Woj is saying, yeah, look, Spencer, there are no teams planning to pursue a sign-and-trade for Kyrie Irving, right? Like, the idea that he has a place to go that's more attractive than the Nets, which can offer him again this last year as an opt-in on his contract deadline Wednesday, like, that seems to me like a nothing burger. Maybe he takes less money and goes to join the Lakers on an MLE, a mid-level exception. Maybe that's possible, whatever. But the thing I want to hone in on here real quick, right, is just the Kevin Durant side of this thing. Because over the weekend, we got Damian Lillard posting a Photoshop on Instagram stories of KD in a Blazers jersey. Yusuf Nurkic is reposting that. And it's just like, what do these guys know? Because the assumption is, why would an NBA player on another team do this? This is tampering. Why would they do that if they didn't know something?
I don't think
it
players
seems they
can tamper,
know nothing.
But... Oh, sorry.
What I don't know what the rules are even for what tampering is for anyone anymore in the NBA, but I don't see this as a thing where Kevin Durant is going anywhere. That's where I land.
Why, by the way, why, if you Portland, why are you trying to get Kevin Durant? The obvious fit for Portland is Kyrie Irving. He's already there, right? Like, he's gonna go. Yeah, I need a week for personal stuff, man. Yeah. Like
vibes wise, he's there.
My chi is off, and you know, Portland, they'll be like, "No, that's cool. Go ahead, man. Fine."
Well, I mean, he's already there in LA, which is the most interesting potential outcome. Like physically, he's actually in LA. Emotionally and psychologically, he may be in Portland, but physically, he's in LA from the BET Awards, and maybe he wants to stay out there. That seems like an interesting place for him to land with LeBron, but for that to happen, there's going to have to be another reunion, which I'm sure that KD does not want. Westbrook, unless they get a third team in. But the craziest thing about all this is I wanted to go last because I didn't want to ruin everybody's fun. This is the most big nonsense foolishness. Like, this is the media pooping stuff out and then other media people eating it and then pooping it back out again and just some sort of human centipede of BS. Like, I can't tell you how many times I got like hot news alerts from on my phone and I clicked it thinking that something was going to actually happen. And they're referencing reports that are referencing other reports that are not founded on actual reporting. And like, even the Woj bombet that we just received is nothing. Like, it's nothing. And we're still talking about it because they're big, important players and we care about them. The only thing I find interesting is the degree in which Durant is going to put his finger on the scale. And it seems yes. like he is letting things leak out, which is interesting because it seems like he could be someone who doesn't have to let things leak. He can walk in and say, hey, sign him. And they'll sign him, I would guess.
Well, that's, I mean, mm-hmm. Spencer, I know you want to jump in here, but I just want to jump in on what Dominique just said there. There is a line that has been taken as one piece of truth about Kevin Durant's position on all of this. And Kevin Durant basically echoed this on his podcast himself. He said, I am not getting involved with Kyrie Irving's free agency. The reports have indicated, right? And this is seen as an indictment of the Nets that Kevin Durant has not talked to the Nets front office so far. If you take that to be true, that's also an indictment of Kyrie Irving, right? If you're Kyrie Irving and your friend is not talking to the people that he has influence over about the thing that he wants them to do, that tells me something very crucial. It tells me that Kevin Durant is tacitly consenting to way more than all of these snakes eating their own tail and then pooping it out and wearing it as a hat are letting these things be indicated as.
I was also going to say it's nothing in two directions because there are no NBA teams at this time that are currently planning to pay me the max to play center. None. Okay. Could that change? In theory, right. Yeah. In theory, it could. When they're like, yeah, there's no teams planning a side and trade for Kyrie right now. Why would there be? Why would they admit that to anybody if that were the case? Yeah. Like, it is absolutely nothing. It is exactly what Dominique says. It is a human centipede thing and a side effect of. I think every sports fan base by category has this kind of like cardinal news cycle sin or psychosis where they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. In college, it's usually, ooh, well, if we hired that guy, we'd be fine, right? Like what? The entire crappy college that I root for, right? The university team that's been mediocre for years, if I just got that guy, we'd be all right, right? Like in the NFL, it's looking for who's a bust. It's always who's a bust, right? Like somebody gets on there, gets drafted. 2 seconds later, we're like, that's a bust. The NBA fans' single psychosis is always wanting to hit the trade button. Just hit that button. Hit that button over and over again. Whatever it is, because it's fun.
Is there? It absolutely is. But do you think that – I know that wherever he ends up, if he is the move, which like my guess is he stays in Brooklyn because this seems like very complicated – for someone that it feels like you can't really trust. But if he ends up somewhere else, I know the team where he ends up is, including Brooklyn, is going to convince themselves that he is going to be the answer that they need. But do you think there's a clamoring out there amongst fan bases? Like one, because normally this free agent guy or the disgruntled guy or whoever could potentially move, normally every fan base wants him. Normally every local media every local media outlet has created some sort of screenshot of this guy that's floating around on this team's dark web. I don't feel like that's happening for Kyrie.
I think the Lakers at $6 million are the only fan base that's really showing enthusiasm about this, but notably they're not going to give up stuff they actually like. Yeah. It's like, hey, Russell Westbrook, how about that? And it's just like, what are we doing? What are we even doing at this point? If Kevin Durant has any power, that is not a thing that's ever going to happen. And so for me, like, where does all of this go? Look, Kyrie Irving leaving the Nets, I can imagine it. Kevin Durant leaving the Nets, I cannot. And I think the keystone to how all of these things are going to play out, because Wednesday is the deadline again, is at the very least the Nets are indicating if you want Kyrie, it's a sign and trade, right? Kevin Durant under a 4-year deal. You're going to have to go through them. Like, they're going to – it's not as – even if we all agree that everyone's motives are as fun and as messy and as human centipede as we would like to imagine, they still need to go through the layer of sober-minded people who really are clearly running out of patience for all of the nonsense that is swirling around.
And can we get back – so let's assume – so there's two different ways I feel like we can go with this conversation. We can start to figure out where a third team is that he could go to, like, because Westbrook's – contract is expiring after next year, right? So like there could be someone who'd be interested in that. But I don't think that's as interesting as actually talking about the Nets in their championship aspirations if they get back a full strength Kyrie. Because we saw what they did in the first round this year. They got swept. It was the closest sweep ever in history, if that means something, but they got swept. And the reason why they got swept was not because Kyrie Irving didn't show up or Kyrie Irving is weird. I'm sure they didn't help, but it felt like they got swept because they don't play very good defense. They seem to have a coach who does not have the authority to make adjustments or may not know what adjustments to make. And they're old and unhealthy. Like, to me, next year with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I could be convinced with Joe Harris and Seth Curry coming off the bench.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben and Ben Simmons with a healthy back.
All NBA caliber player.
Yeah, like I could be convinced potentially. But I feel like if we just look at what happened in this year's playoffs, I don't know that this team's got it. I just don't. Nick Claxton at the center. Like, they're going to have to play real defense in the East. Like, real top-level defense. All the good teams were awesome at defense. That ain't going to be them.
Yeah, this sign a trade list, by the way, that's exactly like Lakers, Clippers. There's one team on there that makes me start laughing, and it's the third one, the New York Knicks.
Yeah. It's funny, oh, Spencer.
That's what I want in late June. I want to set like the Knicks tape hive on fire by saying, hey, you know, Kyrie, he's interested, right? We're back, baby.
But the thing that's amazing about where the Knicks are right now is, and this has been reported, I think, enough to where I believe it. The Knicks are not into Kyrie at the moment because they are so in on Jalen Brunson. Right. It's just like, look, I just think that twist of like the, wait a minute, you guys used to be name brand whores, and now you're going all in on Jalen Brunson is just like.
Do you think that? My guess is Knicks fans would rather have Kyrie than Jalen Brunson. And that's just me generally think, well, you're not a Knicks fan anymore. The front office and coaching staff there, like clearly they're well connected to Jalen Brunson. They want Jalen Brunson, so it's not going to happen. Allie, what you got for us?
This is according to Brian Windhorst on SportsCenter, the Nets would rather lose Kyrie than have a status quo situation, which I find fascinating. But like the one thing I want to ask you guys, if you had to just boil it down and pick right now, where do you think he's going to play next year? Because, like, wouldn't it be the most NBA thing ever if he's on the Lakers? Isn't that the outcome that the NBA has always been, like, predetermined to have happen?
I think the ideal funny scenario that is perfect for the dramatic reasons you alluded to is Kyrie Irving taking a $30 million pay cut and signing with the Lakers for $6 million just to prove a point.
I hate yes. that. Yeah, I mean, it's clear that money does not motivate him in the way that it motivates other people, because he would have got that shot if he cared about that money. I think you're right in the NBA-ness of it, but I think the most likely, I guess the Windhorst, this is, again, not real reporting, but like kind of like feelings reporting, but Windhorst saying that they'd rather have the status quo.
Use him or status quo, yeah, right. But like, we don't want Kyrie around is what they're saying.
No, I don't think that's what they're saying, right? Because the status quo, I could be wrong, but I would assume that the negotiation with Kyrie involved like a one-year option, or they involve other options, which still would be the status quo, which is why I feel like it's not real reporting. You think that they wouldn't take Kyrie for a one-year deal, and then he's like under whatever pressure to prove himself? But okay, if we take that at face value, that he's not going to end up there, it's hard for me to...
We got to define status quo. Yeah. Alabaster, you've thrown a bombette into this, and none of us know what the quo is when you're referring to the status of said quo.
Also, by the way, who says the Nets get what they want? Right. If they got what they wanted all the time, they would have had a full season of Kyrie Irving with a full season of Kevin Durant.
And James Harden.
Oh, yeah. That happened. We forgot about that.
Like, okay, I understand.
Beautiful comment.
I understand that if Kyrie leaves, that we all are going to be, and then Durant also has to leave, that but, most of the media is going to be upset at Durant about that. But have some compassion. This man showed up and was like, you know what? I'm going to play with two all-stars. And then less than a year later, he's like, nah, and you're alone. Like, I feel like that's justified demanding trade territory.
He's like, I'm going to play on the new version of the Dream Team, and instead I'm wearing a fat suit.
Yeah, that's how you get out of town. All right, Alabaster Quoa.
So a couple of bits of cleanup and things that we can talk about. First of all, if it's a one-year deal and, you know, Kyrie wants to be in New York, that's his choice. He can opt in and take the last year of his max contract and then see how things shift in a year. But what has been reported that the Nets want, which I guess is a change in the status quo, is a sort of more incentive-laden deal similar to what Embiid got or Jonathan Isaac, where he has to hit a certain amount of games played to make a max salary, which would change the status quo because it would be having Kyrie as a full-time player for full seasons.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Like, this happens to me sometimes, too. The more reading I do and the further I get away from dealing with people and like the more isolated I am, I start to think of things like contracts as like really things that you can really enforce on everyone. You can't. Mm-hmm. Contracts don't do shit for crazy. Like it's never. Please trust me. Have somebody losing their mind in the middle of a bar and then show them a contract that says, you signed this contract. I said, when you enter here, you weren't going to act up. Stop it. Kyrie with incentive-laden contract. Like, he missed out on a bunch of money last year without this incentive-laden contract.
You think it's
going to change him? To me, it's more status quo. That is the quoiest of the status quo that I've ever quoted or statused.
But wait, to clarify, though, what the Nets, I think, are trying to do is they're not – I don't think they can even be under the illusion that they can incentivize Kyrie's behavior. I think what they're looking for is court mandated, immunity from the paychecks.
See, that's where you're wrong.
They don't want to not pay.
You know Joe Tsai better than I know Joe Tsai, and I don't think he cares about the money. I think he wants to win. And I think that the only reason why you would present a contract like this is not to save money if he doesn't show up. It's to force him to play. And I think incentives work in economics because we're talking about a large enough population of people. And so, like, we control by the fact that we have so many people. It controls for the fact that a couple of them ain't going to follow the rules or not going to respond to incentives properly. We got one right here we know ain't going to respond to incentives. So if they think that this contract going to make him act right, they are fooling themselves. So move on. Either move on or cross your fingers. Like, that's all you're doing with him, no matter what piece of paper he signs. You either move on from him or you bring him back and you pray, you cross your fingers, you sage his locker, you do whatever he needs to make him show the hell up.
Funniest possible outcome, Kyrie to the Knicks.
Oh.
And somehow, because we need a third party to really make this whole deal hum, and I'm not saying they finished the entire season there, but there is at least a night and a single jersey sold of a Westbrook and Durant reunion in Oklahoma City, whereas they are both traded for draft picks. And again, the story is Oklahoma City ends up with like 28 draft picks out of this. I don't know how. I don't understand the math, but that's how this works.
Yeah, I didn't do the trade machine before the show, but that was the third team that I was assuming, because you could potentially send draft picks to OKC and pin Westbrook on that. They want to bring him down here. They want to lose because Victor, everyone's favorite French big man,
whose last name Dominique has just gotten afraid of trying to say. Wow.
Boom.
He did it, Alabaster. Face. Alabaster, he did it.
Well done. But you might not have done the trade machine.
Oh,
but you're goddamn right I did. And let's assume that Kyrie Irving leaves. Let's talk some fake Kevin Durant trades.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys. All right. So you're the Nets. You don't have your draft picks. You're on the verge of some purgatory. And I come to you. I'm Brad Stevens. I was about to call him Brad Gilbert. Brad Stevens says, hey, take Jaylen Brown and a handful of first-round picks for Kevin Durant. You say what?
I say that the worst part of the human centipede is like the second to last.
The question.
It's the second. I feel like we're the second to last part of the human centipede. We can't release anything. We got to take everything. That's what I feel like this question is asking us to be, personally.
So respect the question. I mean, if I'm, what is he going into year 16? Or did he just finish year 16? So the way that the Celtics have gotten as close as they've gotten in the most recent years is not making any moves like this. And when they made a move like this for Kyrie, it didn't work out. But you can't let that stop you. Bring Kevin Durant in for one last run.
Of course
you gotta go. Everybody's
gotta
go. Everybody's gotta go. Bring him in, and you won't have any problems closing games anymore. You won't have your best player disappearing for the entire finals. Your defense gets a little bit worse, probably. But Kevin Durant, in spurts, has shown the ability to be an elite defender. Like,
sure.
Yeah, you ship out everybody, and you bring in KD, and you win a championship next season.
And then he leaves after a year.
Exactly.
Leaves after a year. Boom. Yeah, because you're going to bring out the bad old Kevin Durant on Twitter if he goes to Boston. I guarantee you. First night he has like only 14 points or 18 points. It's over.
Kyrie, can we talk about just Kyrie on Twitter for a second here? Because the whole thing, Alabaster, I have no idea if you've satisfied your personal fetish for hypothetical
trades. I got more
trades.
I got four more trades.
No, go.
He loves it.
Four more trades?
This is the exact guy that Spencer was talking about. This is the guy.
Truly.
Hit the button. Hit the button. Right.
Like,
come on.
Stitching our mouth to Alabaster's rectum is what we're doing right now. But
all
continue.
Right, first one. Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, 3 first-round picks for Kevin Durant. Pablo,
done.
You say. You can include Doc Rivers in the trade.
Oh, yeah, I'm in. In.
All right. In. Fox, this one's for you.
All right.
Warriors, because you are the number one Warriors hater. How about we get a little Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, 3 first-round picks for Kevin Durant. The salaries work?
No.
All right. Spencer, you're Mr. Heat Culture. I offer you Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero for Kevin Durant.
Done.
You know what? I think a logical person would say no. I'm hitting that button. I don't care. We're just moving stuff around. I'm doing stuff, making things happen.
Yeah, I mean, if I go back to my Warriors trade, if I want to win the championship, I'm doing it. But it's clear that the owner of the team wants to be great forever, so we can't give up these young guys that we don't know what we got.
Also, Dominique is clearly the most incentivized person right now to ensure the Warriors don't win another title. So pretty sure you're asking the wrong person entirely.
This is where you're wrong. When the Warriors won the title, I had the most fun I've had doing this job in a long time. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. Like, Steph Curry, like, he didn't say my name fairly, but he gave me a shout out in the post-game press conference. I'm not sure you understand that I don't mind this heat. It's kind of fun.
His company tweeted out an image of you doubling down.
Yeah. The brand is strong.
Why you guys think that it bothered me? I'm rooting for them next year. I'm not going to do it publicly. Don't tell anybody. But I can't wait till next season. Me and Steph Curry are goggle-eyeing each other again. It's going to be so much fun.
I got one last trade. And this
another trade?
This is just the last one.
Four. Right. I can do another
20. Wembanyama.
Kevin Durant.
I just felt like yelling.
We're going to send him to Toronto for Scottie Barnes. And the reason I love this one, we know Masai loves to trade for mercenaries to try and win a title.
Because he didn't want.
This is also the fan base that cheered for his torn Achilles, and they're giving up Scottie Barnes, who exceeded all expectations, won Rookie of the Year, would be a massive asset for the Nets. Your thoughts?
You think straight up deal?
Nope.
Why am I asking follow-up questions? Are we done with this yet?
Just say yes or no so we can move on. I would say no. I don't think that makes them a championship team. So no.
I'm saying yes because I live for
you
the thrill.
To press the red button.
I'm saying no because Spencer said yes.
Okay, cool. Moving on.
We can move on. I kept it in the KD for Anthony Davis one. So KD and Kyrie are on the Lakers with LeBron. Okay, we'll move on.
Yes, I'm doing that, by the way. Trade. Press the red button. I like that one. Why'd you save that one? That was fun.
I don't know. I thought Pablo would mock me. Let's move on.
I would.
And so my question to you is, we're getting more information about a potential suspension for Deshaun Watson. What would your thoughts be on Deshaun Watson potentially getting a year-long suspension?
So real quick, right? I think what's happening right now is the setting of expectations. So the Wall Street Journal had this story about how the NFL is circling a year-long suspension at least. It's worth noting that Major League Baseball has kept Trevor Bauer, who's had sexual misconduct allegations following him for years, off the field for 2 years. But right now we have this fight that's brewing between Deshaun Watson's camp and the NFL over whether a year is too long, not long enough, et cetera. But that's where the expectation level has been set. And Dominique, I'm just curious, when you process all of these headlines, because underneath that, right, there's the contract stuff, like the NFL could be trying to undermine how Deshaun Watson did that $1 million salary for this coming season, which only kicks in if he plays any part of it. And this would mean that he's just going to push his contract clock further back into the future. Like, there's all of this other chess allegedly being played here. So I'm just curious how you read all of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, tentacles, moving parts about this story. But I think the most important thing to start with is, like, the punishment. And I don't know if it's setting expectations, or maybe it's setting expectations, or it's trying to, like, create an expectation. Because as it stands now, the new CBA, an independent, like, agreed upon former judge, Sue Robinson is her name, has to set the punishment. Not in the old days, it was Goodell sets the punishment. And then Goodell has the ability to, like, overturn that punishment if he so chooses, or to accept or reject it. And then there's also the ability for Deshaun Watson in the NFL to come to a negotiated agreement before the punishment comes down from Sue Robinson. So all those things out there are creating another type of pressure. And in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, it's always like Deshaun Watson, it's hard for me to bring myself to try to defend him anyway. But at my heart, I'm still a union guy. So I'm always thinking about not the perpetrator or the person who's being accused of anything, as much as I'm thinking about the rights of the players and not having them infringed and understanding precedent. So the hardest thing about this is, like, I would base any punishment that I'd be willing to accept, I'd base it on some precedent. And I don't know the precedent for this for a player in the league. Maybe we should get to a place. This is not saying that we should not go there. Maybe we should get to a place where 24, I don't know what the number is, but if there are 24 allegations, then you can get suspended for a year. But normally, a first-time offender, which, as sad as it is, like Deshaun Watson, a first-time offender does not get a full-year ban or does not get an indefinite ban. And that's, like, as a position on the union side, I would not want to set the precedent that this is okay. Because next time, when someone else who has something, and maybe you guys will say that's stupid, but, like, someone gets caught with a bunch of weed in their car or something, or someone gets whatever, something stupid, gets a DUI and doesn't get in an accident, doesn't hurt anybody. The next time that comes up, and maybe you think it's unlikely, but let's say the independent arbiter is like, hey, they're out for a year. And then, like, we have no recourse because we allowed it to happen this time. So, I don't know. It's a bad place to be in. Again, it's one of the reasons why I'm talking on TV and not working for either union that I used to work for in the past.
It's part of the reason we're pooping out poop and then eating our own poop. Yes, Spencer.
Yeah, speaking of that, the Browns. The Browns... I'm baffled. I mean, I know why it's happening. The idea of the NFL disciplining one of its own teams for making a move like they did with the Deshaun Watson guaranteed contract and with the understanding that, yeah, if he got suspended, he's still going to get paid. That's the thing that is that bothers me most here, that we're talking about the business practice of a franchise that knew and willingly engaged with this, or if they somehow claim they were that ignorant of it, should be laughed out of any court hearing, deposition, et cetera, that they did not know what was coming in the quantity of Deshaun Watson. The idea that there's not some punishment coming from Goodell above and beyond removing the player, because I know there is a punishment involved to the franchise in taking away a talented football player. There's an absence. There's a lack between what you could have been and what you're going to be. I would argue one, that seems irrelevant given the Cleveland Browns' history regarding their role as a prime earner for the league. Is that diplomatic enough in saying that sometimes the Browns just, you know, seem to be rebuilding for 5 to 10 years at a stretch while still taking all the TV money? At the same time, there has to be something above and beyond that, because I don't see any defense of Cleveland trying working here, and being ignorant of that won't work either, given the preponderance of evidence in a civil sense. Again, I'm being super diplomatic here. We all know what he is, right? Like, if it took 22, you got 22. If it took 24 incidents, you got 24 allegations. So the idea that the Browns themselves shouldn't be punished above and beyond the removal of the player in the form of suspension. That's the thing that bothers me, because ultimately you want some deterrence as a business, right?
No, like, I would
want to deter your members from doing that, right?
I would. So
I get the concern with labor moving forward. I would like to move that off and go to member institution, right? Yeah. Like member institution of the NFL.
I would push back on that for a couple of reasons. One, if the NFL didn't want players to be signed, then they should have taken action. It feels weird to me for the NFL to not take action put them on the commissioner's exempt list, fine them or suspend them. If the NFL does not take action and make it so you can't sign a player, I think it's wrong to then go and punish a team for finding a player. The direction that I thought was interesting that you started to broach a little bit was bringing up these teams and the owners also coming in to be punished for this, or at least be punished to the same degree for their infractions. So that's another thing that could come up with, like, even though the Robert Kraft stuff was dropped, and I mean, Jimmy Haslam's had his background. There's other things that are out there currently that guys can get punished
What franchise could you be
Daniel Snyder. Like, it's right.
Which one?
It's right down the road from me. Daniel Snyder. And, like, he's supposedly not running his team now. So, like, I find that interesting. Also, it's like, why aren't the owners also exposed to this independent punishing person in the same way that the players are, whereas they just go back to their own members and be like, hey, take care of me, look out for me. But I would assume that the members really, really hate the Browns right now.
Well, to Spencer's point, I think what we're grappling with, though, is like, what do you do when shame is no longer a guardrail, right? Like, presumably back once upon a time, you would think dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct would be enough to sort of scare a team away from doing a deal that is structured deliberately cleverly to evade real, like, consequences for signing him, right? And that's, I want to be clear about this too, Alabaster, right? So the thing about the $1 million contract and $1 million, a lot of money for Deshaun Watson, the least amount of money you could possibly imagine to play football for a season. And so basically the Browns did this thing where if he plays any football in this coming season, he only makes $1 million, with the expectation he would miss a bunch of the year anyway. And so they would be taking it out of that $1 million annual salary. What's going to happen, though, Dominique, because I think the NFL, and I don't know enough about the judge and the arbiter here and whether they factor this part into their equation, but I have to imagine that the NFL is not cool with that contract structure for reasons having to do with what it implies about, again, evading consequences and evading any of the repercussions that tend to come when you sign a guy who has dozens of sexual misconduct allegations in civil suits.
Yeah, I'm sure that they don't appreciate that because it's trying to skirt the consequences. But I think that you make a mistake if you start to believe that the league office cares about anything other than the bottom line. Or I guess I wouldn't say it that way. That's unfair. That anything is more important to them than the bottom line. I think they care about these other things, but they fall lower on the priority stack than the bottom line does. And they care about the punishment getting to Deshaun Watson to the degree that we care about it. If we feel
totally,
like they
totally
are
right,
that he's circumventing the justice system the way it is, then they care about it. They would like to discourage this from happening. They care about it that way because it impacts the bottom line. I'm not sure how they're going to get around doing this, but I do think that in the long run, it's not going to, like, they're not going to take his bonus money. Like, maybe they take a year. The painful thing is pushing him back 1 year in a free agency. That might affect his money. But there was one piece one sentence in there that I read in the piece that we sent around that I thought was interesting, and in how the NFL is focusing, or their punishment that they're encouraging is focused on five cases that they believe to have the strongest evidence. Like, I don't know what their investigation put out, but the Browns also said that they did some research. And this is back to your point, Spencer. While I don't know that the NFL cares, like, we should care about what these investigations look like, what they say in them, why they narrowed it down to five, what reasons they have behind that. Like, all of that, like, maybe it's none of our business, but it kind of feels like something that we should know.
Partly, Spencer, because remember, and I don't know which five, none of us know which five then released the results of these investigations yet, but, like, there are women who have accused Deshaun Watson of this misconduct who did not file a civil suit, did not go to the police, did not have any monetary gain or publicity associated, but people who are part of the story that have also been lost here. And I do think if you are investigating, I would want to talk to those people in particular, who the New York Times, by the way, has in fact already talked to.
Well, you should know too that the lawyer associated with one of the suits is Tony Busby. And Tony Busby, if you do not know, is a big time lawyer out of Houston, Texas, who, among other cases, was involved in the Deepwater Horizon case, where got some money out of that, and also involved in this Deshaun Watson case, and once bought a tank to park out in front of his house in Houston. This is a house with neighbors, and he had to park it on the street, okay? And got into an extended legal fight over this, by the way. The long and short of this is, they're dealing with a pit bull in this case. And if he's got his teeth in this case, I believe against the Texans, they got problems that the NFLPA and that the NFL itself won't be able to control directly. So it's not like the fallout from this case is over or we've seen the worst.
It does feel like the Browns are the Deepwater Horizon of the NFL, incidentally.
Is there, and maybe this is me failing to fully research this, but it doesn't seem completely clear what the Texans' role was in all of this.
So they're being sued now, we should note, by the way, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the story now today. Like, the Texans are now named by Tony Busby, yes.
Because it seems like the implication is, like, they were complicit in some way, but no one's come out and actually said that. Like, there's hotel rooms, and there's NDAs, and there's connections being made. So that's the next step, I guess, is like figure out what punishment how involved the Texans were. And if they were at any level, like, I feel like a punishment has to fall on that team also.
Well, because the Times reported, right, that the NDAs, per Jenny Ferentis, the NDAs sort of landed in Deshaun Watson's locker, placed there by the Texans head of security. And this hotel that Dominique's referring to was coordinated in some arrangement with some knowledge of the team itself. And all of these, yes, to the point of like, how do teams end up culpable in any of this? All of this absolutely feels worthy of follow-up paperwork, Alabaster.
Yeah, this is by the way, after 20 of the 24 allegations have been settled.
Yes.
And despite that, Busby is going to press forward because and again, this is an attorney making this statement, right? But that they're going to press forward and that they believe that the Texans enabled his behavior. So if that is the case and you get to a point of legal discovery, that would be very bad for the Texans and bad for the NFL. That is probably not something they want.
No. Discovery, the least favorite noun, arguably, in the NFL league office lexicon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alabaster. Let's move on to a couple quotes. We're going to play a round of Who Done It. I'll give you a quote. You guys have a minute to come together. Figure out who done it. First quote. I guess only quote. I ain't going to lie, man. I was scared as hell going into that game 7 against LeBron James. This was the only time that I actually prayed that something happened to him at practice. Let us get breaking news that LeBron James tore his ACL. And your choices are A, Paul Pierce, B, Kendrick Perkins, C, Klay Thompson, or D, Tim Duncan.
We all know
the answer. Yeah. We know the answer to this. Okay. Right, Spencer, you know the answer to this? You have to.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, well, guess. No. We'll let you guess.
It's funny, so I'm going to rule out Klay Thompson, which maybe that's funny because maybe that's the answer. Paul Pierce, I think, would have said something, I don't know, that would have come off more wrong than this. Tim Duncan, this involves talking, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
This man knows how to do multiple choice.
I'm going to go Kendrick Perkins.
Well done. You aced the SATs. I know it.
And I ain't going to lie, man. I was scared as hell going into that game 7 against LeBron James. And this was the only time that I actually prayed that something happened to him at practice. I said, you know what? Like,
what a thing to confess.
I know, but I'm being real. Like, I was like, let us get breaking news that LeBron has, tore his ACL or something.
My only regret is that, first off, you also could have just been like, the word hell is in this. That feels very perfect at this point. I am just, I'm kind of disappointed in how restrained this is, actually. Like, I'm like, I want Kendrick Perkins to be like, and then I fashioned a voodoo doll out of hairs that I collected from LeBron James over the years. And I Wouldn't began to stick pins in it.
You know why?
Not. He scored 45 in game 7 in 08.
Yeah. You know why the voodoo doll would not have worked? Because any hair that he would have collected off LeBron.
He said that.
Gosh,
gosh. Lord. Yeah. But this is just
that's gonna be my new move. Just, anytime I say something that's good, it's my celebration. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Perk's just saying what the rest of us would have thought. Like, you know, yeah, it'd be cool to win best against best, but if I can have that player non-grievously injured by like a bus running over their foot, I'm gonna take it, right? Like, if I
you
have
get a
that
targeted bus game, strike,
targeted bus strike, right? Like miss the plane on the way to the game. I'm going to go ahead and take that because that's a lot easier than beating LeBron James.
Yeah. You know what? Missing the plane is a more defensible thing to wish for. That doesn't involve him getting grievously injured. That's fair.
Well, I mean, they would have got him there if he missed the first flight. It's not like they fly an hour before the game.
That's true. Yo, we got to do the bus strike. You got to do the bus strike. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But not a voodoo doll. What's next?
All right, guys, we're going to move on from whodunit to a game of a quick game of who won it? The Stanley Cup. We got four options, guys. The Rangers, the Avalanche, or the Wildcats.
Out of respect for the sport of hockey, I think we're all going to say that we know the answer.
Yep.
But I'm also going
to
confess.
Only one of us went to a hockey school. Only one of us went to a hockey school. It ain't me. Wow. It ain't Dominique.
That's right. Beanpot. I've seen so many beanpots, which is a thing that is not what you think it is. It is a hockey thing.
I don't know what that means.
Are the Wildcats a real team? It's the Avalanche. Congrats to the Avalanche! Did we have triumphant imaging of the Avalanche? After this correct answer?
They dented the trophy.
A cup full of confetti. That's not even a full cup of confetti. Come on.
We got to save some for the end of the show, Spencer. Don't waste all our confetti on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was impressive. They were like 16-4 in this playoff run. They won every series on the road. They were amazing. Nathan MacKinnon broke out in this game. These are facts that I've only learned because I'm doing around the horn after this.
Well done.
So forth and so on. So too roll the hockey.
It's the only hockey games I've ever gone to are Avalanche games because the equipment guys in Denver when I was there really liked hockey. And so I went with them a couple times and they're like, you got to watch it live. It'll change your life. You'll fall in love with it. So I went to two hockey matches.
Mm-hmm. Hockey match.
And I still don't love it. But hey, it was violent. I actually do kind of like the hockey playoffs. I watched a couple hockey playoff games.
Hey, Avs, that's a good time. They sing All the Small Things by Blink-182.
Do they? Really?
Small things.
I know that one.
Yeah. If you want to know, like, I've slammed Sweet Caroline in public as, like, a Caucasian sing-along, All the Small Things is much better.
Hey, let's get to this white fight. We got 3 minutes left. I'm not going to get off here without showing this white fight.
We got some brawling, some base brawling. And our question, what are the chances Jesse Winker was justified in his anger towards the Mariners? Let's watch
Jesse
it.
Jesse Winker. And he has pitched out of the pen in Salt Lake. And he just
Winker. Erica. Winker. Yeah. Pronunciation, man.
Yeah.
More like...
No, he's cool.
More like Wanker.
He's cool. He is not cool. Not cool.
So this is retaliation from the Mariners throwing at Trout's head, right? The night before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been going on like inside pitches for a couple days at the point of this mushing. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, shouts out to the dude punching with a broken hand. Broke, got a cast on that arm, and he's doing the punching. That is, look at the slow-mo.
The phantom cam! The Phantom Cam on the scenes.
Who has to clean that up? Like, you didn't hit anybody. Like, what are you doing? No one. Oh, we're doing it again. Let's do it again.
Let's go.
Yes.
Oh, like, middle finger to crowd and stuff. It's absurd.
How long can you stay that mad? I can stay mad for like 30 seconds. Like, I can stay that incandescently mad for like 30, and then I got to lay down.
Yeah, then I get sleepy. Then I just get sleepy and I need to take a nap. The thing about this game, I guess, is that the other dude wants the guy who's throwing. That's what they do in baseball. They throw. That guy is an opener. That's the other funny part about this whole thing, right? Is that like you can use openers in games, which are like the way that analytically minded teams get around using a starter because they want to do like leverage innings, blah, 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 blah. But in this case, it's just an excuse for a guy to come in and just throw at people and then leave. Which is like a funny position in baseball. It's now formalized. Yes, his first career start, in fact.
We were talking about hockey. That's a goon. That's a goon move.
Straight up goonery.
Send the goon out to just start a fight, right? I love it. I also understand, by the way, the Angels getting mad because the Angels should get mad about anything because you have the two best players in Major League Baseball, including the only one I care about, Shohei Ohtani,
who hit a
462-foot home run the other night, who is a pitcher and is apparently not of this earth, and they're still below 500. Oh, they have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and they're still below. I would fight every game. By the way, if somebody's like, hey, are you justified in fighting? You hit me with a baseball. I get to fight you. That's how this works.
I think as long as Shohei was not involved, make sure that they put put some glass around Shohei. Yeah.
We're setting child custody over there. Yeah,
I do not want that to happen. But this is the point. I know the ump said they were unaware what happened the night before, so that's why there was no penalty for the opener. Like, that's why they have unwritten rules. And like, okay, don't fight, whatever. But also, like, the umps have to regulate this. Like, to be unaware of the bad blood between them and allow this to escalate to a fight is like, what else are you supposed to do? You're not going to regulate this. Then old Mr. Fisticuffs.
Got to
straighten these things out.
Gotta say, I can't stop imagining just like a voodoo doll with like Beijing on it. I'm just like, what are we? Is this really where we're going with this? More confetti!
Same cup.
Yes, more same confetti cup. For the ad, baby.
Oh, recycle.
Right. Also, we need a stunt fighter for Shohei Ohtani. Like a